good morning and
traditional traditional Russian folk music during the break.
The theme of the day, I guess, right? What? Getting us ready for when they fully take over.
For those of you who listen regularly, you know that Rich dances during the breaks, and that just put a whole new twist on it.
I can't do the Kazatsky or whatever.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. A delight to have you here, as it always is. It is the 29th of March. It is a Wednesday, and it's a rainy day. So I hope that you have taken cover and you are here and listening and in a dry, warm spot. And if not, doing the best that you can. We welcome our wonderful panel. Let me begin by saying hi to WAMC's Alan Shartok. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, Grope.
Hi, Alan.
Grope? Hi.
Is it group or grope? It's group.
Yeah, no, it would be group. Yeah, none.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other would be bad.
Alan.
let's go to our attorney. corporate attorney needed. Rich Honan is in the house.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
And communications consultant Teresa Bourgeois here. Good morning. Thank you very much for joining us.
Delighted to be here.
Always wonderful to have you here. All right, let's go to the news of the day and what's going on. We're going to start with a story that I think I'll admit that not many of us really clearly understand, but we're going to work through it. And my intent here is either that we're gonna have a good substantive discussion, and if we don't, I'll just quickly move on to something else. Okay, we are talking about the very sexy topic of internet privacy. The House just voted to wipe away the FCC's landmark internet privacy protections. Congress sent proposed legislation to Donald Trump on Tuesday that wipes away these protections, the first salvo in what is likely to become a significant reworking of the rules governing internet access in an era of Republican dominance. In a party line vote, House Republicans freed internet service providers such as Verizon, AT&T, and Comcast of protections approved just last year that had sought to limit what companies could do with information such as customers' browsing habits, their app usage history, their location data, and their social security numbers. The rules also had required providers to strengthen safeguards for consumer data against hackers and thieves. The Senate has voted to nullify those measures, which were set to take effect at the end of this year. If Trump signs the legislation, as he is expected to do, providers will be able to monitor their customers' behavior online and without their permission, this is key, without their permission, use their personal and financial information to sell highly targeted ads, making them rivals to Google and Facebook in the $83 billion online advertising market. So there's a lot there, but let me begin, and perhaps I'll start with Rich, of helping me try to, helping me try to understand why you would roll back safeguards for customer data against hackers and thieves.
The presumed reason, or the ostensible reason, is that you're now making it the same as the rules for the Googles and Facebooks of the world. And let me give 30 seconds of background, and I'll try and do it in a nonpartisan way. But Teresa and Alan, you know, jump in if you think I'm editorializing.
Oh, they will.
Okay. So
don't worry.
Right now we're talking about two groups of companies, two distinct groups of companies. There's the internet service providers, meaning the Verizons of the world or the Time Warners or the Spectrums, the people that you use to access the internet, say, from your house. Then there's
and they have your email and things like
that. Right. They have everything and that's how you get to the internet. Then once you get to the internet, you could choose where you go. Then there's what the industry calls the edge providers, which are the Googles and the Facebooks. Now you go there. The Googles and Facebooks of the world are generally, to the extent they are regulated by the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. The internet service providers of the world over the last few years have been deemed to be regulated by the FCC. Just the same people who regulate the phone companies, but now they're regulating them in the internet context. The FTC has rules regarding privacy. So when you go to Google or Facebook, which you can voluntarily do, they'll ask you, do you agree to our privacy policy? And nobody ever reads it. Everybody says, I agree. And Verizon and the other internet service providers didn't want to be the new rules that were put in last October, you know, a week or so before the election, said that now there were fairly sweeping new rules that said that the Verizons and the other providers can't do things, including selling your information. Okay, now it's not clear that they were doing that anyway, but that's what the rule was. New regime comes in and they roll back the rule. And the ostensible reason is, well, if we don't have, you know, Google and Facebook can do this, you know, so why isn't it fair that Verizon and the others can do it as well? That was the ostensible reason for rolling back the rule. So I don't know if that clears up anything. The problem is that people will point out that to an extent you have a choice whether you go on Facebook. Right. But if you're trying to get to the internet from your house, your choices are limited. Right.
Right.
You got one way. Generally, you have one easy way to get
there. Generally,
it's
a monopoly.
Right. And right. You can't. And if they ask you, do you agree or not agree? If the answer is I don't agree and they say fine, then you can't get to the internet. Then kind of where are you? So that's what people are protesting against.
And they keep
Does that clear up anything?
It helps. Okay. And they also keep different sets of information, right?
Yeah, well,
they can gather different sets of information.
Sure, because if you think about it, Google knows wherever you're asking Google to go, right? And knows wherever you're searching in Google, for example. But Verizon, I'll pick on Verizon. If Verizon is your provider, they know every site that you go to because that's your road to the internet.
Yeah. And they have your email, the content of your email, which they're now allowed to sell. And
well,
and
yes,
they have all sorts of other information.
Correct. Now they'll be quick to tell you, and this is true to an extent that you know there's still federal rules on privacy, and they also have their own internal rules that they don't sell things allegedly without your consent. They're just saying.
But is that strong enough?
I mean, well,
it wasn't
I don't
strong
know
enough
I,
because people because the rules were put in place in the first place.
Yeah, but you know the. Rules are. I'm not. Now we get into the politics of it, so now everybody could jump in. So,
well, this, I really, if I could ask some questions, because
yeah.
I really don't understand this. But is from what I read, this also lifts the restrictions on trading in health data, financial information, social security numbers, content of emails, other digital messages, because there had been restrictions on trading in that information, but with this change, it's now been lifted.
Is yeah. When you say had been, that's correct. But that you know that's since October. You know these weren't long-standing rules. These were you know and in fact, I think the rollback was part of. And you'll know this better than me, but you know, rollback under those where you could, you know, things that were that are done in like the last 30 days or something
right.
like that. It,
right,
it,
right,
it was
right.
under that kind of broad that broad authority
that allows them to do this.
Right now, so but yeah, you're correct. Now again, the ISPs will tell you why should we just because we're regulated by the FCC and somebody else, you know, Google is
Federal Communications Commission.
Right.
For those who don't know.
Right, and Google is more lightly regulated by the FTC. You know, why should we have to play by different rules? Why can't we do the same thing Google and Facebook do, which is basically monetize your private information? That's their argument. And to be fair, and now I'll get political, okay? So up till now, I think that was factual.
Yeah,
But
it's really a complicated. I mean, this is
it's complex, and it brings in the whole. This is part of the whole net neutrality idea. You know, should
it's a
you
whole
know,
other can
right?
Worms.
Should users? You know, should Netflix? You know, should Netflix pay more? You know, to the internet service provider because it's using so much more of the pipe. You know, that kind of thing.
Should they have a lane that allows them to go faster?
Correct. Correct.
Other
should
people
they?
Don't.
So
they shouldn't.
And but the answer to that is
I don't know if it has to do with me watching The Crown. I would say I want it
no,
as
Joe,
fast
your answer
and as
is
quick
no,
as
no.
Okay. All right.
Fairness, Joe.
I will say
we're on the side of fairness,
right.
which is on the side
right.
of
I'm
Netflix
on the side
going
of,
faster.
Right. All right. Go ahead.
I'm on the side of. Right. I'm always in favor of unfairness and rich people having everything. But I will say, to say that you have a lot of choices when it comes to, say, Google, like, you know, yeah, I know there's DuckDuckGo and I know there's other places. But to me, Google is as close to a monopoly as anything has been in our lifetime. I don't see how Google is right. any different from the AT&T, you know, in the
Google's
70s.
Getting into a broader spectrum of things. Right.
So that's the argument.
All right. Alan, what do you make of all this?
Well, fascinating. A couple of things, Joe. One is that we have received, it's my impression, you get the same mail I do when people write to the panel and to the station, that we've gotten more on net neutrality and the way in which all of this is handled than virtually anything else. So it may be complicated, but the fact is people feel passionately about not getting screwed by the system. Number two, is anybody here surprised that Trump and his people are coming down on the side of the monopolists? Of course not. I mean, it was to be expected, and it is happening. It's something that the Senate can go along with. They're not going along with everything. But on this, this gets to their basic pro-business instincts. So Rich, I'm sure, was kidding when he said he's just in favor of because there is no joke of rich people getting everything. But the fact of the matter is that's what the Trump administration is all about. And there are no surprises here for me on any of this.
Well, I saw a tweet yesterday that said, while I was fighting for my health care, the Republicans were taking away my privacy. And right. I think that this, you know, I think...
What sites are you on? No, go ahead.
No, I mean, this is just a general tweet.
We'll know soon.
But I do think that this has not gotten, it is complicated. It's not gotten a lot of scrutiny. I also read, you know, I don't know if this is factually, but that the industry with AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon in the far lead on this spent more than $25 million in the last 2 years lobbying first to block these changes and then to get them reversed. But the other thing that I read that this does is that the rules that were passed in October for service providers to tell consumers what data they collect, why, and I'm reading this, and as well as to take steps to notify customers of data breaches, and so they're no longer required to do that. And as I understand it, other countries, particularly European countries, are much more restrictive about privacy and about use of people's data. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. It's in the other countries that they're setting the legal precedents where, for example, if somebody says something untrue about you, you could actually have Google kind of change the search so that, you know, people can't find it. I actually agree with what Teresa says about, you know, our privacy rights have been lost. I think they were lost long before this. I think they were lost by the Googles and the Facebooks and the Apples and the Microsofts of the world, long before any of us ever knew what was going on. The amount of loss of privacy, and we didn't know.
Me too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It is. I think it's a problem. I mean, this exacerbates it, but I agree with you, Rich. And I also, Rich, you might have, the chief counsel to Twitter, he tweeted, now it's time to bring back the VPN.
The virtual private network. Yeah.
So
arguably, a virtual private network would be a way of, think of it as a way of getting to the internet bypassing the big ISPs. Okay, so you think of it as more independent networks. Now I'm not going to use Verizon. I'm not going to use Time Warner. It's a way of me becoming part of a network that is my road to the internet. People have been thinking, it's kind of hard. I mean, I don't know how you would sit. Most of us would not sit down and be able to do that, right? Although it's easier. I think it's easier now with wireless. But the other thing is a lot of the VPNs have their own, rules as well. At the end of the day, I think what's going to happen is where everybody's going to say, fine, here's our rules of use. You know, click I agree if you want to use it. I mean, no one has ever read one of these things. And I know because we write them, I'll have associates saying, well, we want to put this in their EULA, their end user license agreement, but we're sure, we think it might be too restrictive. And I say, nobody's reading it. Just put it in. No one ever clicks I don't agree. That, I think, is right. That's become the problem.
Okay, I'm the weird one who...
You read them? That's good.
But
good
I don't understand
you.
It, but I read it.
So if you have a problem with Apple, you have to go to arbitration in like Cupertino, California.
Well, the whole
right?
issue of arbitration stuck in these actually is a whole separate huge issue.
Yeah.
That's when you agree to these, you agree to arbitration, which takes away a lot of your rights.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
A whole separate story into itself that
Anyway, I digress.
When you have something like this, Alan, though, it's hard to go back, isn't it? I mean, we have these new regulations, but so we had regulations that went into effect, as Rich said, they're relatively new. Now they've been rolled back and they've been changed. But it seems that once you open up the Wild West, then how do you get back at some point to allow consumers a little more in their privacy?
No, I agree with the entire panel. I think you all know that when you're reading various periodicals and other things, things will show up. And you say, how did they find out about that? You know, if you have a broken foot, all of a sudden you see broken foot stuff. I think it's almost impossible. The Democrats get back into office in the Congress and the presidency, and you'll see some reversals. That's my bet.
Well, Joe, actually, Republicans inserted in this legislation a provision that the Federal Communications Commission is now forbidden from ever issuing a similar rule on this topic in the future. It's stunning.
Even though they own it. In other words, they are now in command of the FCC.
I thought that you had to do that under the 60-day rule. You can say, all right, that, but you can't have a do-over on it. And so part of the 60-day rule is it has to be that you can't use the 60-day rule to get rid of new regulation and then promulgate the same regulation again. I think that's just part of the rule itself.
And I think on this one, it's as much lobbying the companies as it is your elected officials, because this is really, you know, is there going to be a company out there who finds a market by saying, okay, we promise if you use our service, we will not sell your data.
Sure.
And is there a market opportunity here now? Who knows? I don't know that.
All right, going to take a quick break. We'll be back and continue our conversation. We have letters on this as well. We are talking about this and much, much more when we return on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. And to prove Alan's point earlier that we get a lot of letters on this subject, we have a lot of letters on this subject. So I want to get to those, and then we'll move on to other subjects. And we'll go to the lighter, far more cheerier issues about all of our climate rules have been rolled back. Okay. Samantha says, I use DuckDuckGo.com every time I search anything medical. I do have a choice in that, and I exercise it. I do value my privacy, and I agree that it is impossible for us to protect it online, but that doesn't mean it should be that way. With the Republicans in charge, consumers have no protections in Washington.
I use DuckDuckGo also. And you're right, you do have some limited choice there. But the world, first of all, the world uses Google. And a lot of the search engine optimization is based on Google's algorithms. And my point is, Google and Facebook and everybody else have violated our privacy long before this ever started.
Now, well, that's
not an excuse for allowing.
That doesn't mean we can't be outraged about it and try to, you know.
Fine, then try and do something.
Do something.
Well, Anthony takes a far on that. With that in mind, Anthony takes a far more global approach and says, you lost your privacy when you allowed your phone number to be published in the phone book, and you lost your privacy when you registered your car and put a license plate on it.
Not to the extent that you've lost your privacy now.
I mean, the notion that they can sell the information in your email messages and they can sell your financial data. I mean, I've always worried if you use something like TurboTax or one of those online tax and you go through them to file, because then that makes all of your financial data vulnerable. But in any case, but if you do it on your own computer, it's not connected to the internet, you protect it.
I think Alan and I agree on this. We just assume that everybody knows everything. Right, Alan? I mean,
well, I certainly do. I'm still scratching my head on the license plate issue.
Well, you lost your privacy. He's saying you lose your sense of your privacy when
your car Yeah, yeah. What if your car were parked outside your girlfriend's house overnight?
There you go. There you go. All right. I mean, I'm sure that's never happened to anybody here, but you know. Larry.
Not to me.
Oh, my goodness. There's an underlying theme going on here today.
Larry writes, can individuals use a virtual private network, a VPN, to retain privacy?
Yeah. Depending on the rules of their virtual private network, yes, that would give you more privacy than you're getting through the internet service providers.
And do you have any idea of cost on that?
I don't.
That cost prohibitive? Is it really within reach of the average consumer?
Oh, I'm sure. The answer is I don't know. I'm sure it is probably less expensive, somewhere closer to free.
Oh, okay.
But depending on the network you use.
James writes this note before clarifying that this is one of the few times that he agrees with Rich, but says, Rich, I'm wondering if you click disagree, then what? My understanding is that you don't get access at all to the product, which to me is kind of BS. If I don't agree to Apple's terms for my phone, then I don't get to use the phone that I paid $300 for.
Absolutely. He's right. And I think...
And also asking if there's any way around that.
No. use a different vendor.
Right. I mean, this is a silly thing, but I was signed up to run a road race and I checked the disclaimer form before I accepted it. And I looked at the terms and it turned out in the terms of this road race disclaimer form that they could sell my information. Any of their sponsors could get and sell my information. And, so I, you know, backed out of the race, but I contacted them and said, oh, that's not what we meant, they said. They had no idea. They had no idea it was in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they say.
It is scary. Jennifer writes, hypocrite Trump complains that his team's communications with Russia were incidentally captured by our government's listening in on Russia, which was an action taken to protect the USA, but he is willing to sign away our individual rights to protect our online privacy.
Yes, so he doesn't want to disclose his taxes, but he's okay with selling allowing our financial data to be sold.
I think they should both be regulated. I think the edge users, the Googles of the world, should be regulated as far as privacy. And I also agree that I think the ISPs, because you have limited to no choice, you know, should be regulated as well.
This is a question. Isn't this the technology has gotten way out ahead of the regulatory authorities? And so this issue between the FCC and FTC, you know, it's just that the technology has grown so
well, and, yeah,
so
and,
rapidly
and the decision
that the regulatory bodies cannot keep up with it.
Yeah, and I think that's by design. I think I don't think people knew of all the data collection that was going on by the Googles of the world, you know, when we first started using it.
Right.
But that was the business model.
Ken writes, could you address a statement I heard concerning the privacy on the net issue, I believe in the New York Times specifically, that the bill was worded in a way to preclude ever reinstalling privacy regulations again? We did talk about this.
Yes.
Is this possible? Can you write a law that says that it can never be overturned? And Rich explained that as well.
Yeah, the other one is Obamacare that was written to make it be very hard to be overturned. But I think
that's a whole different reason.
Right.
We can go down that path if you want to, Rich.
But I do think that's I think that other rule is part of the 60-day rule,
which is a new thing to me. It's a stunning the notion that you can say you'll never go back and look at this. That's probably going to be overruled.
Cliff says, to be fair, as Rich says, Google in no shape or form has a monopoly the way ISPs do. ISPs control our access to the internet. In my home, I have no choice. We can choose to use Google or not. We often choose to use it because their services are the best, which is the other issue, right?
Yeah, true, but that's never been a defense against true monopolization.
Yes. Brendan says, always love when Rich is on the show, even when you argue. There's an undertone of civility and respect that seems to be increasingly rare everywhere else. That's because Rich is just very special. Also wondering if you'll ever have a conservative woman join the panel. Could be an interesting voice to add to the mix. Well, we've been trying to cast that role for a long time, so we'll see what happens. anything you'd like to add on that, Alan?
No, you know, think of all the combinations and permutations of everybody who writes us, who says, I'd like a North Alaskan Eskimo to provide. And we get those every day from every conceivable person. And
yeah,
you just
not about Eskimos specifically, but about, yes, different.
No, 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 yeah. No, 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 no. Yes. I made that up.
Yeah.
I made that up, and I apologize to anybody I may have offended. Nevertheless, that is exactly what you have to contend with when you run one of these shows. It is not, we're not doing this on proportional representation. We hope we can do this right, and we don't want to disappoint anybody.
Joe writes in, I have two more letters, and then we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to move on to a different topic. Joe says, I have a choice on search engines and can reject their small print box, and I can use Firefox, who doesn't track me. With internet service providers, I have little if no choice. It's either Time Warner or Verizon if I have both choices. So in a nutshell, I have no choice of internet service provider. And eliminations of these rules gives me no freedom of choice. With search engines, I at least have a choice. I can use Firefox or some software that blocks snooping.
He's correct. Now, there still are federal laws that regarding privacy. For a number of reasons, a lot of these, he's correct, but a lot of these ISPs are not going to, you know, sell your information to the fullest extent now allowed by law.
But go ahead.
Can I ask, is there a possibility that this will go into the courts? I mean, I know the ACLU, for instance, was strongly in support of these changes, and you know, they were quoted as saying this really hardwires a surveillance infrastructure into the internet itself. I'm quoting an ACLU. I mean, is there litigation that could slow this down at all? Or is this really just consumers have to demand that?
Well, it could also. The answer is there could be litigation, but I think where that litigation is going to arise, that's why I just said what I said, where if, for example, Verizon now turns around and says, oh, there's no more rules anymore, we're going to take all your information and sell it.
Which they now have the right to do. Once Trump signs it.
Correct. But I think what they would say is we weren't doing it before. We don't plan to do it now. And if they did, I think you would be looking at that. That's where the lawsuits
would. But they
wouldn't
have spent $25 million lobbying over the last 2 years if they didn't plan to use this. I mean, they said the whole idea is because there's a tremendous opportunity to monetize this information to advertisers and others.
Right. And they're saying, why does Google get to do it and we don't? I understand kind of part of that argument. The thing that, I'll throw this out there, not to throw more red meat out there, but you know who the head of the FCC is, right? He's a former lawyer for Verizon.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Ajit.
Yeah.
Right.
Pai? Ajit Pai or Pai? Yeah. So.
Pai, yeah. Yeah.
All right. And the last letter that I'm going to read on this issue for the moment, and before we go to a break, is from Michael, who very simply says, what is the Republicans' rationale for doing this? Because Rich's reason is irrational.
That's the reason is, why should you have two different sets of rules for people that are basically, that people have access to your private information? Google could sell it with impunity and monetize it with impunity, and the ISPs.
But they could have gone the other direction. I mean, to create a level playing field, they could have said that those regulated by the Federal Trade Commission, like those regulated by the Federal Communications Commission, all have to protect people's privacy. They could have gone the other way.
They could.
That was an option.
Yeah, I think
and
that,
they chose the option on the
tough.
Side of the.
I think they feel like that would be. I agree with you.
I mean, it would be tough going against the corporations and the $25 million in lobbying money over a year or two, but
as well,
which surprises all of us.
Right.
Which surprises all of us so much.
If level playing field was really what they were after, they could have gone the other way and protected the consumer's privacy.
Well, I think that what they would have said is I think, again, if I was speaking on behalf of Verizon, they would say, fine. So if you change the rules for Google to make it more restrictive, apply those same rules to us.
But that's not what they were lobbying for. They weren't lobbying for a level
playing field. Alan, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I doubt it. I mean, I said in the beginning all I have to say on this, which is this is in absolute sync with what the Trump people are doing. All holds on business, big business, little business, all holds on business are gone. We're going to have coal in the air. We're going to have all the rest of it because that's who these people are. end of discussion. It's not as if, you know, if an eagle walked through the room, it would turn into a cow. That's not going to happen. It's all consistent.
He's correct.
All right. With that moment of agreement, we will pause here. We will take a break, and we'll come back and discuss other issues, including climate change and much, much more after this.
Support for WMC comes from Congregation Emmanuel Kingston, hosting its annual Women's Passover Seder, Women's Liberation in This Generation, Sunday, April 2nd at 5 p.m., cehv.org for more info. Monticello, licensed real estate broker, 421 New Carner Road, Colony. Utilizing professional photographs, custom websites, and internet marketing to help sell Capital Region homes. MonticelloNYS.com. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5. HydeCollection.org. The Albany Berkshire Ballet, presenting a new dance event, Process and Performance, April 7th at 7:30 at the Arts Center of the Capital Region, Troy. Albany Berkshire Ballet on Facebook. And Bedard Brothers, representing 7 automotive brands in 1 Berkshire County location for 60 years and counting. Sales, service of new or certified pre-owned cars or trucks. It's hard to beat Bedard. BedardBrothers.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. And we have been talking most of this morning about internet privacy and the action that the House took yesterday. Let us now move on to other issues that are making news that are also very important. And we talk about climate rules that were rolled back yesterday. The President of the United States signed an executive order unwinding President Obama's climate policies. Flanked by company executives and miners, he signed a long-promised executive order to nullify President Barack Obama's climate change efforts and revive the coal industry, effectively ceding American leadership in the international campaign to curb the dangerous heating of the planet. I know you love the wording of the New York Times there, Rich. Okay.
Was there any journalistic reason for that last sentence?
Well, I think it's true.
Right.
Right? It is true.
Right.
I don't know if that's true. You don't think the United States will
still
be ceding? Read it again, Joe.
Okay. Effectively ceding American leadership. So we had been been leading that, and now we are rolling it back. So we are no longer leading that.
So you're saying America is no longer
the international campaign to curb the dangerous heating of the planet.
I don't think
that's all true?
No, I don't think. I don't know that seeds American leader. Who's going to be leading? You think somebody's going to be leading
China
beyond
and Germany?
They're actually leading on this? I don't think so.
Oh, yes. They're happy days.
Well, Germany's always been one of the leaders on that.
All right. Let me get back to the
through the facts first.
Right.
We
so Mr. Trump made clear that the United States has no intention of meeting the commitments that his predecessor had to curb planet warming, carbon dioxide pollution, turning denials of climate change into national policy. Alan, I will say what probably is on many people's minds, but I know when I watched this yesterday, it just seemed very sad.
I don't know how to get around this one. You know, when Al Gore, who is not my favorite, walked into the White House giving Trump some legitimacy. Remember, he met him, I think, at Trump Tower.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was one of the most disturbing visits I have heard about, because just by walking in there and listening to this guy, who, I mean, I don't want to use the word idiot, because he's not an idiot. What he is somebody who just doesn't care about his grandchildren or his children, and that is for sure. We know what global warming has done. We know what turning around coal production has done. We see that in China they used to have to walk around with masks all the time. Things are getting a little bit better. LA, the same thing. And yet this guy comes on and he says the world the whole business is all wrong, and I'm going to let everybody do anything they want if the rationale is jobs. And that's what he claims. Well, okay, I can take a lot, But that's the one where I think every American ought to be out on the streets with a pot and a pan.
Teresa.
So he does say the rationale is jobs, but it's a false narrative, two false narratives here. Well, let's back up and say we knew this was coming. He campaigned on this. He said climate change is a hoax. He was wrong about that. He said coal was coming back. He was lying about that. But, you know, people...
Nice and clean coal.
Right. So people knew this, and they vote not the majority of Americans, but he got elected. This is not a surprise, but it is it's shocking, but not a surprise. So on coal coming back, first of all, the reason so many coal companies are going into bankruptcy is because the emergence of natural gas and fracking and other things, and the emergence of clean energy, wind, solar, other things, and because of modernization of how coal mining is done. And so that has the number of people working in coal has dropped precipitously. Labor Department says industry lost about 60,000 jobs between 2011 and 2016. So there is a problem out there. But those jobs are not coming back. And if you really wanted to help the coal miners, you would help them find other work because their jobs are not coming back. And the notion that this climate change, dealing with climate change, is a binary choice. Either you care about climate science or you care about jobs is just a false choice. There's enormous economic opportunity in solving the climate issue. And what this does is puts us now way behind the rest of the world. Germany, China, others will just outpace us in creating the new energy economy.
And don't you think, Alan, you have to put this also into the context when you look at this particular action that was taken yesterday? You have to put it into the context of what else is happening in the departments, both the Interior, the EPA, and so forth, of where those departments are headed, and look at it as in the big picture.
You're right. And it just has me seeing red, Joe. I mean, you can intellectualize about almost anything. But when you threaten the children of the world, the grandchildren of the world, I keep coming back to that. I just can't get it. So yeah, you'll do it on regulations. You'll do it on climate deniers who you put in charge of the EPA. That is, in my view, evil. And it's just evil. I've never seen anything that quite has disturbed me this much about this guy. You know, if the Democrats cannot see this as an opportunity to win congressional and Senate seats, then I think that they're just no good. I think that it's hopeless.
And one of the things some people argue, well, this is now just going to go to litigation and it'll be a long time determining what will happen. But, Joe, what you just said about other things they're doing across agencies is really critical, because while this might end up being litigated, you know, what happens to the Clean Power Initiative, which is basically what they've rolled back, President Obama's Clean Power Initiative, there are other things that they're doing administratively. So, for instance, NASA, you know, he touted NASA this weekend in his weekly message and about how they were going to fund NASA. Well, in fact, they're proposing to shift funding to their deep space initiative, but they're cutting funding in NASA for satellites that, among other things, help monitor the warming of the Earth. They are cutting a program in the Department of Energy called ARPA-E, and that's essentially like DARPA in the Defense Department that does research. ARPA-E was set up in the Energy Department to do energy research. They're deeply cutting the funding for the research budget of the EPA and cutting off all sorts of monitoring of climate change. And so you're losing all of this, you know, important climate science tracking mechanisms as well. It's really dangerous.
Rich?
I agree with Teresa when she said, look, none of this is a surprise. You know, I don't think he made any secret about his disdain for the science and for the initiative. And Joe or Alan is right that it not only legislatively, although I would call this an executive order,
yes,
but in a regulatory way, you know, putting Pruitt in charge of the EPA, et cetera. I think that's consistent with everything he said. I think one of the things that happened here, obviously you'll disagree, but I think one of the things that happened with climate change in general, I think that the proposition that we are creating lots of gases, you know, more than ever, and that's not a good thing. I think that to me is a very viable proposition. I think that the rhetoric that surrounded it really turned off a lot of people, not only on the right, when you have John Kerry coming out and saying, you know, this is a bigger threat to America right now than ISIS or things like that. I think it's part of the type of rhetoric that's been employed by both sides over the last couple of years, which is basically this is the fact, and if you don't get it, you're really stupid. And I think that's part of the blowback that you're seeing here. But I mean, in general, I agree with Teresa. This is what he ran on. This is what he's going to do. And also, you know, the renewable energy.
We have 20 seconds.
We spent more money on that with less results over the last however many years. Listen, I do a ton of renewable energy projects, okay? More money on it with less results over the last many years than many other projects.
I have to go to the top of the hour. We need news, and we have to get our ID and all that stuff in, but we'll be right back and talk more about this. Good morning, and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We're going to talk about all kinds of cool things in just a minute, but no, that's fine. We're going to talk about some other issues in the news. I just want to get, we got several letters on the environment and about the climate action that was taken yesterday. Lisa writes, when we flew over Germany a few years ago on our way to Croatia, we were amazed at what we saw from above. There were solar panels on homes, in fields, everywhere. Our thoughts then were, wow, Germany. Also, Bill writes, Berkshire Community College lowered its ecology flag to half staff this week, quote, in an expression of mourning for the environment, clean energy jobs, and the scientific process. That according to the Berkshire Eagle. Steve writes, leave it to the Republican to argue semantics instead of acknowledging the damage that the repeal of these policies will do to the planet. Address the issue, Rich. How can you possibly go after the semantics instead of fighting for a planet for your children where they can breathe the air and drink the water?
So the Earth has been here for seven billion years? And you're gonna make an argument based on 200 years of existence?
Yes.
I take issue with your data points. And by the way, I'm not a Republican. And also, by the way, when I was talking about the amount of money spent on renewables, I was talking about the government money spent on renewables, not on the private sector money, which has had some significant effect. But I don't think the government money has gotten us anywhere.
All
look
right.
At, look
we'll
at
agree
Solyndra,
to disagree on
et cetera.
That one. But
go ahead.
I mean, the other thing that we didn't talk about on this is even though President Trump is not leading and his administration is not leading on this, which is very dangerous for our future, Democratic governors, some Republican governors, attorneys general, other people will continue to lead on this. Businesses know that Trump is on the wrong side of this issue. They see the economic opportunities in this. And so while it's very, very damaging to our country, if in fact he walks away from the Paris Agreement on climate and he makes all of these changes and we don't have the data collection, I do think, you know, we heard yesterday from Governor Brown in California and others that they understand that this is imperative both as an economic opportunity issue and as a, you know, global survival issue. And so I think that this will be fought in the courts, but also companies, others will continue. And then also any individual who's outraged about this, you have to stop and think about what you're doing individually. I know it sounds hokey, but inflate your tires in your car, turn down the temperature in your house, plant trees. You know, individuals can do things and then support companies who do and candidates who do believe in the overwhelming climate science that's out there.
Yeah, I think that last thing has been the most effective of a lot of the kind of progressive, the progressive movement is either supporting companies that are kind of consonant with your views, or you know, opposing companies or boycotting companies. I think that's been one of the most effective tools in the arsenal.
All right, let's get to some other topics and go to the issue of, we talked about this yesterday, but Devin Nunes said he will continue to lead the Russia inquiry. And also now there is at least one Republican House member who is also calling for Devin Nunes to recuse himself from the investigation. The Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee rebuffed calls on Tuesday to recuse himself from the panel's investigation into Russian meddling in the presidential election, as Democrats accused him of stalling the inquiry by canceling the committee's meetings. Representative Devin Nunes of California, the chairman, said he would continue to lead the House investigation despite accusations from Democrats, including his committee's ranking member, Representative Adam Schiff of California, that he is too close to the president to conduct an impartial inquiry. Alan, I'm curious as to what you make of this. And
I loved the language. He's going to continue to lead. You mean he's going to continue to lead us away? You mean he's going to continue to not lead? Because, in fact, it's so obvious that they do not want these people to testify. That this business about some of them will testify, but without being held to the standards of perjury and not having to take the oath, that's extraordinary to me. And you would have to be really, you know, there are certain things you can't say on the radio, but you would have to be without your facilities to believe any of that. And yet, an awful lot of people are saying, I'm sure he's hearing from the White House, don't you dare give up leadership on this, because it can only get worse. Because if he goes, then the next person up, and I'm told, it'll probably be, some Long Island Republican who the next person up will not make the same mistakes, can't afford to. So they got to keep them there, and that is that.
Rich?
I have to disagree with my fine but confused liberal friend, Alan. I think it's a made-up story. I think the idea of
the Russian interference in the election is a made-up story.
No, it's a made-up story that somehow, because he has information that is helpful to the president and shared it with the president before sharing it with everybody else, that somehow that means that he can't conduct the investigation into the alleged Russian contacts. It doesn't hold together. It seems to be
what
that
part of it doesn't hold together.
The part that, tell me, what about that makes him unable to preside over the investigation? And how many?
Alan, go ahead. Answer that question.
I was just going to say, they say in the Senate, my learned colleague, Rich just did it, my learned colleague,
my dear friend.
To my learned colleague.
It's usually when you start by saying, with all due respect.
With all due respect. To you,
all due respect to my learned colleague. You make me want to vomit. I mean, honest.
I was thinking the same thing, Alan. I'm glad you said it.
There we go.
Are you kidding me? Where did you get educated?
It is so clear that this guy is between a real hard rock and a whatever place. I mean, there's no question that he does not want this to go forward. And he keeps canceling meetings, and he keeps saying, we're not going to talk about this. And he keeps saying, oh, well, yeah, we're going to let those people testify, but only before X, Y, and Z come in and testify. We all know that this is what this is. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of the investigation into Hillary Clinton, both on Benghazi and the private server, where there was no grand jury impaneled, where people were testifying not under oath, where people were allowed to take stuff off of their laptop before they gave it to the FBI. It seems to me like none of what has happened has even been alleged to reach that level. All that's
Rich,
happened.
Rich, what are you talking
are you
about?
Kidding me?
What has he done?
Yeah, right.
Don't bring up Benghazi. How many? Nine
hearings, how many millions of dollars, and now
and
the same people who were hounding about Benghazi are cutting State Department funding because ultimately it was a security issue, but they're cutting funding for State Department staffing and security. And don't bring up Benghazi.
But Benghazi. You don't bring up Benghazi because Benghazi was an example of the kind of cover-up that you guys are alleging that you have zero evidence for right now. All you have right now is somebody who has the temerity to actually support the president.
And
the Democrats will not stand for that.
Benghazi was an example of investigative overreach that politicized the death of State Department people, the unfortunate, tragic death of State
Department people.
Did the
government or did the government not lie about Benghazi? Was Benghazi because of the tape or was Benghazi because it was a terrorist attack?
Okay,
Hillary Clinton admits that night that it's a terrorist attack.
I think you're trying to move the conversation off of
Exactly. Don't, hey, Teresa, don't drink his Kool-Aid. We know what this is all about.
You're deflecting.
He doesn't want... He doesn't want...
You're throwing gorilla dust.
I'm fine with the investigation. The investigations are going on. Nobody, by the way, has talked
they
about...
They are not.
Nobody... The FBI investigation is going on for the last 8 months, Alan. Against Manafort and everybody else.
The problem was Sally Yates was going to go up and testify. And now Sally Yates is not testifying. They don't want to invoke executive privilege, but they don't want her to testify.
Yeah, I thought that the White House denied any. They said if she wants to testify, she can testify.
And he shut down the hearing where she was supposed to testify.
After meeting with the White House. Yeah, obviously because of the restrictions that she probably wanted to put on her testimony. Was she given immunity?
You don't know that.
Neither do you, Alan.
Well, the point is there were supposed to be hearings. She was supposed to be coming. Nunez, the friend of the president who goes up to sneak information to the president, now says, for this X, Y, and Z reason, we can't have those hearings.
Information is not provided to anyone else, right, Alan?
Adam Schiff tells us that. How do we know? Because the Democrats on the committee want the hearings, and it should be done. And we can only hope that the Democrats or the... No, I'm sorry. I'm going to take that back. We can only hope that the Senate, which has a much more sense of decorum, stays with their announced role as a third branch of government. That's what we can hope now, because Nunez is a disgrace.
I was under the impression that Nunez did share with the committee
he refused to share the information.
Well, he did eventually, but not some of the information. No?
No, he has
not
shared
all
the
of it.
Not all of it. Yeah, I think that was...
Well, he hasn't shared what?
He
the name
apologized,
of the source?
But he hasn't shared...
He apologized for not telling the committee first.
I don't believe he shared the information yet.
Has anybody
other than the White House person?
Has anybody looked at the substance of the information itself? Not to my knowledge.
I don't think he's shared it yet.
Well, of course
they
we
keep
can.
Asking what it is.
Of course
what
we
is
have.
It? I don't think he's shared it. I might be wrong, but I don't think he's shared it yet.
But they have the same access as he does. Regardless of where he got the information is there. The information is with the FBI or the NSA or one of the 16 agencies that now get to share all this information, as you remember, which happened a week before the inauguration. So they have the same access as he does.
Go ahead, Alan.
I'm so interested in the fact that we read it almost disregarded by everybody. The fact that the FBI guy came up to the White House and talked to the president. It was in the White House for 1 hour. This is a guy, Comey, who goes back and forth like a yo-yo. We don't know whether he's investigating and what he's not investigating, right?
Hey, I'm with you on that one. I was one who said Comey never should have been. I know it's difficult, when it's the FBI because it's not considered a political appointment. But I was one who said there was no way Comey should have continued his job in the new administration. I'm fully with you on that one.
Then you can't argue with us that the FBI is doing an investigation because you don't know that. We know that we've heard the FBI is doing an investigation, but if they're doing it, it's awful slow.
I think the bottom line on this is that there's serious questions about the Russian interference in the U.S. elections, and that needs to be investigated. Republicans and Democrats should be equally concerned about that, and I think now you need an independent investigation.
Did anybody else see that? Did anybody else see the Manafort piece about how he was buying real estate? I'm sorry, say again?
The Cyprus thing? Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. Buying apartments in New York and selling them. Paying cash for them. I guess I'm right about this. One of those characters was, and I think it was Manafort. And now that appeared in the paper yesterday or the day before. And then selling them at great appreciated value, perhaps, and I only can say perhaps, because nobody knows what an LLC is, to the Russians. In other words, this is a way of enriching the guy. I have no idea. I saw it once. I haven't seen it since.
I want to get to just a couple of letters while we still have time. Scott says, if Rich doesn't see any difference between the last 200 years of history with all sorts of chemicals put into the air and the prior 7 billion years that didn't have such chemicals in the air, his cluelessness is beyond astounding. We go to Bob, who writes, untold public officials are held to a standard of appearance of a conflict of interest, yet you allow Nunez to exhibit a conflict and be held to a lesser standard? Nonsense. Rich, says Karen, you said it was not a big deal. Nunez went to the president with info before going to the committee. It is my understanding he has still not told the committee what he learned and told the president. That's another
note
on that. Okay.
Well, we will find out. If there's never any more investigation on this issue from now on, then I will agree with you. I think that because the investigation is not going on at the pace at which you guys would like or in the manner in which you guys would like, I don't think it means that it's over. If it turns out that it is, then I will agree with you.
I think the Senate.
And by the way, very quickly, I think the Democrats, frankly, are better off with Nunez as the chair of the committee, because I think instead of Peter King or somebody like that coming on, what you're going to find is that it's going to be slowed down. We're only a few days into the administration. You know, the longer this keeps going, the longer he keeps obfuscating, the better off it is for the Democrats, I think.
Well, when you look at we're going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you two were talking.
I was going to say something stupid.
No.
I was just.
We're just clarification.
Trying, yeah, we were clarifying.
The Long Island congressman's name.
Oh, okay.
Peter King.
Peter King.
Is it Peter King?
Okay. When we look at the investigation, the FBI investigation is going on, but obviously that will take a long time. We know that'll take a long time. So
why?
Well, because they said it would. Don't they all take a long
time?
The Senate investigation is moving ahead properly.
Right.
It appears to be,
right.
You know, with decorum and whatever. It's just new.
Well, it's the Senate's job to have decorum, right? It's the House that's always running around the way they are now.
Ah, come on.
All right.
Independent investigation is needed.
Mosul. Yes, thank you. And our final story for this morning, and a very important one, which is the deaths in Mosul, and that U.S. probably had a role, according to the commander. A senior U.S. commander in Iraq said on Tuesday that an American airstrike most likely led to the collapse of a building in Mosul that killed scores of civilians this month. But the commander indicated that an investigation would also examine whether the attack might have set off a larger blast from explosives, set by militants inside the building or nearby. It was the fullest acceptance of responsibility by an American commander since the March 17th airstrike.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing from many military families how they're feeling about what's going on in Iraq and Syria, because as Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut said, that President Trump's dragging us into another war and no one's talking about it. And I think that with these airstrikes, as you know, complicated as they are, we're creating another generation of people who will, you know, just hate Americans. And this is a really complicated issue. But hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of civilians are being killed by the U.S. in both Mosul in Iraq and in Syria. And this is a real problem. And it's creating a whole new flight of refugees. And at the same time, President Trump team yesterday, the day before, have this new temporary budget proposal, and they're cutting $99 million in funding for U.S. refugee resettlement, among other things. They're cutting out $363 million in the Food for Peace program while there's famines in those areas. I mean, we have a real serious foreign policy issues that are going on in that region that are going to have long-standing problems.
Alan?
And remembering that we put Iraq back in the back into play as being allowed to send people over here because we didn't want to tick off or make things worse over there. And this doesn't make things worse. That's a riot.
Well, I'd like to. I'm following up on what I would like to hear what the military family says, particularly the military families who liberated who are related to the people who liberated Mosul and Rafah and all these places the first time, only to see them get pulled out and infiltrated by ISIS. What you guys very conveniently and tragically skip over is the whole reason we have to go back there right now is because ISIS moved into the vacuum left by the previous administration. I could say the same about Syria, and the new administration said that we're going to have to try and do something about that. It's tragic, tragic that civilians are being caught in the middle of this. And there's no good answer for that. I will point to the stories that you saw in 2015 and 2016 about what life was like in Mosul with ISIS in charge. The amount of beheadings and people getting hands cut off and people being flogged, and the reason they are there is because of the choices made by the previous administration. So I, too, would like to hear what the military families have to say on that, Teresa.
All right. I got to end there because we are out of time. My apologies. Thank you very much to Alan and Teresa and Rich, and we'll continue the roundtable after the short break.